Welcome back to PNP Network. And we have with us right now, joining us in the line, Georgia Durant. And she is the author of a book called The Company She Keeps. And it's from Celebrity Books and a fascinating story. Your life is fascinating and adventurous and very scary at times.
Yeah, it's been a real trip, I have to tell you that.
Yeah, you've done so many different things, and it's you're obviously a beautiful woman that opens up a lot of doors, and you are beautiful as we speak. But tell us a little bit about all the different avenues that you talk about in the book. Let's talk a little bit about the underworld, talk about show business, and how you get into all those areas.
Yeah, well, the book does encompass all of that. It's about my life in the mafia, but it's much more than that. You know, they took a lot of pages in my life, so it is filled with a lot of mob stuff. But the real core of the story is, it's a woman's journey through life, and it's not so much about the mob as it is about my life as a woman in that world and what I endured and how I was able to pull out of that world and make something in my life. And basically what I did was, I used to be a wheel woman for the mob. I used to be a getaway driver. And today I have a company called Performance 2, and I do stunts, and my company actually as a team, what we do is what the Blue Angels do in the air, we do on the ground with cars. So when you see car commercials with several cars all driving at the same speed, stopping at the same time, or doing a ballet, that's usually my company doing that.
Kind of cool, huh?
It is. I've always been a very adventurous person, and I've had to have this excitement in my life, obviously. And now what I've done is taken a negative and really turned it into a positive. And that's really what the book seems to be doing for a lot of people. It's helping them to see if they're in a bad situation and how they can turn it around and make something of their lives as well. So it's really turned out to be an inspiration. If you can call a mob book inspirational, this is the one.
It's a fascinating book, and I'm sitting here reading it and just going through every page. It's hard to put down. But right now I'm in the area where you were trying to get rid of that man who was bothering you the whole time.
Oh my God, the stalker.
Yeah.
That is my favorite chapter in the book.
It's an amazing chapter.
Oh my God. The mob, you can understand, you know, when they want to kill you, there's a reason for it. You know, they have their laws and their rules and their code that they live by, but this guy was a maniac. You just never knew how he was thinking. And it was really the first time in my life, because I never condoned the violence. I just couldn't stomach it. And this was a time when I had called upon the mob to help me, because I had called the police several times. This guy just wouldn't leave me alone. He was obsessed. And if he couldn't have me, nobody could. And he went as far as kidnapping my daughter. And when he brought her back, he had this oblong box, and he said, I got you a present. And I said, Steve, I do not want presents from you. I want you out of my life. He says, you'll like this one. And he opens the box, and it's a shotgun. And he points the gun at me and marches me upstairs. And I had to try to get out of the situation, so I made him believe that I cared for him. And when he put the gun down, I grabbed it, and I pulled the trigger and discharged the bullet, and it made a hole about 2 feet in diameter in my bedroom wall. And the shock of that and the sound of it just stopped him for a moment, and that gave me my out. And I jumped up, ran down the stairs, and went to the neighbors and called the police. And they came again. They took another report, and there was just no way that these guys were going to help me, you know, after 20 times of putting police reports in. I finally called the mob, and they sent me a hitman. And this guy gets there, and we waited in my apartment, and sure enough, he showed up. And it was up to me whether this guy lived or died, and I could not take someone's life. And as it turned out, you know, he was beaten to a pulp. He had many broken bones. He was in the hospital in traction, and he must have had a nurse hold the phone to his ear. And I get a phone call 2 days later saying, "I still love you. I understand why you did what you did." I said, "Oh, my God, I should have let him die. This, he was not going away."
They tricked you in that bank situation there when you had your friend Frankie with you.
Yeah. Anything. Well, actually, if you haven't read on into the book, but that was a setup. He had gone to the FBI, and the banker was actually an FBI agent.
Well, I figured that out because the FBI showed up shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
I'm on the part now where they're questioning you.
Oh, okay.
But did you find the FBI as a friend or foe?
Well, they turned out to be both. They really saved me from the mob, but they didn't know that's what they were doing. When they questioned me and I would not talk to them, they threatened to leak my name to the other side that I would, that I was talking to them. And they followed me for months. Everywhere I went, they parked outside my door 24 hours a day. So what they actually were was my bodyguard. And the mob knew they were there. The stalker knew they were there. And my ex-husband, who wanted to kill me, knew they were there. So they really ended up saving my life. But they thought what they were doing was making me nervous so I would talk to them, which I never did. But I'd seen the good guys doing bad things, and I'd seen the bad guys doing good things, and I really had a very distorted view of who the good guys and bad guys really were. And being so young, I met Sammy G, who was the godfather of upstate New York, Rochester area, when I was 13 years old. And so I grew up around these guys, and I really didn't see them as anything different because they were like everybody I knew, you know? I didn't know anybody who wasn't Italian until I was 17 years old. And, you know, the cops are always the bad guys. I've seen them being paid off to look the other way. I'd seen them in illegal after-hour clubs, partying with these guys. So who were the good guys? I didn't really know.
Yeah, it's a tough question. In Boston, we look and see what FBI agent John Connolly did with Whitey Bulger and some of these other folks who turned out to be alleged murderers that he was protecting. And you wonder who's the good guy and who's the bad guy, if there is any good guys. Sometimes it gets that confusing. You mentioned earlier about the kidnapping of your daughter. How is Tony Lee doing?
Tony still has some problems, and she's in and out of drugs, and she's been like that since she was 15 years old, and she's 31 now. And there's not much I can do to make her stop. I've done everything I physically can to, you know, put her into different drug rehabs, and she comes out and goes right back to it. So I've gotten to the point where it's got to be her decision, and it's got to happen to her like it happened to me. I'm trying to get her, I mean, I know I was never on drugs, but I didn't realize what really had happened in my life until I started unraveling all of the stuff through writing my book. And my ex-husband, who was in the mob, had well, I won't say how he died because I don't want to spoil it for you, but he died in 1993. And what that did was it released all of the suppressed stuff that I hadn't thought about in years. But it was always there, and I was leading my life in a vacuum because of it. And I went to a therapist, and the therapist said, "I just want you to write down whatever you feel." And I started to do that, and all the stuff started coming out. It was just amazing. And I had about 20 different events that had happened, traumatic events, and guns to my head and being hung out of buildings, and how I felt about it at the time. And this journal turned into a book. I had no intention of writing a book. And that's what I'd like my daughter to do, is to write her side of the story, which is totally different, you know, her perspective of what was going on from a little girl's eyes is totally different, but I think it would open up so many doors for her. It would make her understand what happened to her so that she could deal with it and move forward with her life.
Now, your daughter, like you, was a victim, and this book is really about a victim kind of taking over and you know, taking control of their own lives.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. And what I learned as I was going along is, wow, I'd read the pages and say, that's why I do this, that's why I do that. And people that read it, especially women in abusive situations, they discover that they're in an abusive situation, and they pull the strength from my words and the things that happened to me to eventually get out of their relationships. It's amazing the emails I get from women who have discovered that they're in this situation and found a way out, you know, through reading the book. It's even saved a woman's life. This guy was, he put a, on Amazon.com, he put a review on there. And I did talk to him afterwards, and he said that he was dating this woman, or he had just met her, and she lived in a different state. And they were talking on the phone late at night, and there was a bang on the door. And she said, "Oh my God, that's my ex-husband. I'll call you back." And he had just put down the book when the phone rang, and he was at the part where my sister-in-law, where my brother-in-law had murdered her, his four children, and then he killed himself. And I'm standing in the cemetery surrounded by six caskets and realizing how close I am to dying that same death. And that's where he was when he got this phone call from her. And being that he never understood abusive relationships before, and this was so, you know, in the forefront of his mind, he got a little nervous, and he called back about 10 minutes later, and there was no answer. So he wasn't even sure what town she lived in, so he called what he thought was the town. It was at one town over, and he reported this to the police. Never heard anything, kept calling, no, there was no answer. The next morning, the police called him and said, "Are you the gentleman that called us last night about this woman?" And he says, "Yes." And he said, "We'd just like you to know that you've saved this woman's life." And he said, "When we got there, we had to break down the door, and this man had stabbed her twice, but we got her to the hospital, and she's going to live." And they said, "You saved her life." And he said, "No, I didn't save her life. The company she keeps saved her life." And that, to me, was worth more than I could ever make on this book, that it actually saved someone from being murdered.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It really is.
That's, I guess, what life's all about. The book is called The Company She Keeps, Georgia Durant, and it's published by Celebrity Books of Nashville, Tennessee. If you want to get a copy, you can log on to pmpnetwork.com and listen to this interview, and also order the book at our superstore, or you can go to amazon.com or any of the bookstores that you prefer. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
I would like to do one more thing. Any women out there that need any help would like to contact me. My email address is stuntlady@AOL.com, and please feel free to email me if I can help in any way.
Stuntlady, S-T-U-N-T-L-A-D-Y, at AOL.com. And it was a pleasure speaking to you, and I want to wish you a lot of luck in the rest of your life.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.